Okay. And this is Selected Messages, Volume 3, page 74. We're in the midst of, I don't know which chapter this is. I'm not going to go flying back to find out either. But we're going to start at the top of the page. I don't remember where I left off. I think we already did no claim about the title prophetess, but I'm going to do that one again. So it says, this first one is Unmoved by Opposition. And this one says, the greatest tirade may be made against me, but it will not change in the least, my mission of, or my work. We have had this to meet again and again. The Lord gave me the message when I was only 17 years old. The message the Lord has given me to bear has been in a straight line from light to light, upward and onward, from truth to advanced truth. And I remember reading this last week because I remember praising the Lord for it. Now, the reason I praise the Lord for this, hold on, let me see, I'm going to get the, these are my good glasses or are these my good glasses? Okay, I got the better ones already on. For some reason, it's, the letters are mixing together a little bit. The reason I praise the Lord for this comment that she makes here is because, well, what she says here, the greatest tirade may be made against me. No, wait, that's not it. She says, okay, yeah, she says, we have had to meet this again and again, right? And some of you know exactly what she's talking about here. And the, you know, the Sanballat attacks, and we all saw what Sanballat did to Nehemiah. And if he does that to Nehemiah while he's rebuilding the wall for Jerusalem, doesn't the prophecy say that we are repairers of the same wall? We're repairers of the breach, right? And then, of course, the breach being, the wall being in prophecy, the Ten Commandments, the breach being, of course, commandment number 4, or coin number 4, when the woman found the ten coin, you know, she found the tenth coin. I have a video about that, as a matter of fact. But, so Sanballat's going to come our way in every way, shape, and form. And it's not just going to be, you know, like some of the people that attack that we know only online. It's going to be people that we've met over the years, people that used to be members, people that are family members even. I've had family members attacking me. and then I also have all my siblings that, I mean, I was disowned many years ago when I left the Catholic Church. So when I see this, I not only praise the Lord for myself because it's nice to have company in this situation, I praise the Lord for all of you that are going through similar situations because we're not alone and we're in good company. Because the patriarchs and prophets were the ones that were always attacked for their faith. It's always been that way. They always like to attack the messenger. You know why? Because they can't defeat the one who sent the messenger. It's amazing. Anyway, this next title says, No Claim to the Title Prophetess. And she says, during the discourse at Battle Creek, October 2nd, 1904, I said that I did not claim to be a prophetess. Some were surprised at this statement. And as much is being said in regard to it, I will make an explanation. Others have called me a prophetess, but I have never assumed that title. I have not felt that it was my duty thus to designate myself. Those who boldly assume that they are prophets in this our day are often a reproach to the cause of Christ. My work includes much more than this name signifies. I regard myself as a messenger, entrusted by the Lord with the messages for his people. And again, like I said last week, this, when somebody comes up to me and says, hi, I'm a prophet, or somebody sends me an email, says they are a prophet from God sent to tell me this or tell me that, and I always take it with a grain of salt, because 99 out of 100 times, they're not a prophet. And that one time that they may be, they're a prophet in sin. And if they are, in fact, a prophet, if they have the gift of understanding or the gift of prophecy. And the reason I say that is because when someone comes up as, you know, introducing themselves right off the bat as a prophet, right there tells me they're not a prophet. Either that or they're one that's have fallen. And the reason I say that is because a prophet, like you see here, is not about self or flesh or self-recognition. Or this isn't a title. This isn't a career. It's a calling. And a prophet is to glorify the Lord. After all, they aren't the ones that wrote the Bible anyway. He moved the pen. And so when they take this title, and a lot of them do today, And that's why you also have a lot of people saying under Jesus Christ incarnate, too. But that's a prophecy that we were expecting. But it's just amazing to see how many people are out there that actually claim that title, and they're all false prophets on top of it. I've yet to meet anyone that was a true prophet when they said they were one. But I still said 99 out of 100 because you never know. I'm not going to say the gifts of prophecy have been denied and have been removed because it's in my Bible. That's one of the gifts of the Spirit, right? And so I'm not going to deny it. Amen. Yeah, I got a page on the website. Brother Craig just put the link in the room about the keys to a true prophet. Oh, that's what I was going to praise the Lord about. SeventhDayRemnantUniversity.org. That's SDRU.org. No, don't bother going there yet because it still links out to RemnantGod.org. I'm about halfway done, and this has taken me weeks to do. I'm taking every study off of RemnantGod.org. No graphics, nothing, unless I need graphics to make explanations, is going to be on SDRU.org. It's halfway done, and then when I'm done, I want to put it on flash drives and then duplicate them and then just hand them out to anybody that needs them, because when we're knocked offline, we're going to need those studies. And no, I'm not the one that penned the studies, of course. We know who wrote the Bible, right? Okay. And so that's all. It's just mostly Bible. I do have some stuff on there about Ellen White, but most people on the street don't use her on the street because most people on the street don't know who she is. And so, you know, you don't want to, you know, once you get your foot in the door, you don't want to pull it out. You know, so anyway, again, assuming the title prophet is only going to get you to seek glory for yourself, and it's just like what Jesus said, those that want the praise of men, they get it. But that's all they're going to get. I'd rather have my father smiling at me than Joe Schmo down the street. So, amen and amen. Okay, this next section is titled, The Work of a Prophet and More. And she says, I am now instructed that I am not to be hindered in my work by those who engage in suppositions regarding its nature, whose minds are struggling with so many intricate problems connected with the supposed work of a prophet. My commission embraces the work of a prophet, but it does not end there. It embraces much more than the minds of those who have been sowing the seeds of unbelief can comprehend. So, and yeah, and all of us can embrace the work of a prophet. You know, we just do that which is written in the Word to do. And the Lord may use you in that respect, you know. But to go out there and claim that you're a prophet right off the bat, that makes it easy to proclaim you aren't, because you're seeking to glorify self. And there are a lot of people out there, of course, like I said earlier, that do that. And there's people, and I've met them personally, that claim to be pastors, and they're not ordained. You can't assume that which the Lord is not giving. If you do that, then you are going to be found wanting. And that term, wanting in Scripture, you know, it means just that. You are wanting something He has not given. You know, and to be found wanting is not a good place to be, especially this close to the end. Or it doesn't even matter what time it is in history. Wanting is deadly to the soul, because your Father knows what you need. And a lot of people will say, well, He doesn't know, you know, when they want something that He hasn't given them, and they'll go for it and do it anyway, kind of a thing. They're proclaiming Him a lesser God. Like, you don't know what it's like to be down here. It's just like that song that I heard in a grocery store. I don't listen to this garbage music, but you hear it. Every now and then I heard the words about, some girl was singing about, if God was a slob like one of us, like if He walked on earth like one of us. This is, have you ever read a Bible? And this is how our society is. The majority of the young people out there have never opened that book because their parents won't. And so they don't know that, yeah, He did walk among us. And He walked a mile in our shoes, a lot more than a mile, because He went through things, you know, the majority of us never do, so that we won't have to. But they ridicule Him. And this is one of the reasons for the weeping, as well as the gnashing of teeth. I'm sure some unbelievers are going to weep because they're going to find out on that great and dreadful... No, it's just a dreadful day for them. There's not a great and dreadful day. Great and dreadful day is the second coming. It's great for us, dreadful for them. But at the end of the 1,000 years, that's just plain dreadful day. And they're going to have to deal with... Because I know some atheists that are rather intelligent. And when that self-deception is wiped clean at the end of the 1,000 years, they're going to weep. They're going to realize what they gave up because they're not stupid. Plus, you're going to have perfect clarity back then, or... Well, yeah, it's good to think it that way back then, because it's all going to be past tense soon anyway. So in the whole scheme of things, 1,000 years is a drop in a bucket to our father. It's like a day. So at the end of 1 trillion years, it's literally back then. So praise the Lord. But it's sad at the same time, because that weeping is, it's a scary, sobering thought when you realize, oh my, that's it. I ain't getting up again from this one. You know, and then you're just gone. And all you will be at that point was ashes under the soles of God's people. Because that's what it says in Malachi. So, next one is titled, No Self-Vindication. And she says, My heart feels very sad that brethren J and K have taken the position which they have. You may inquire, what effect does this have upon you? Sorrow. Only sorrow of soul. But peace and perfect rest and trust in Jesus. To vindicate myself, my position, or my mission, I would not utter 10 words. I would not seek to give evidence of my work. By their fruits ye shall know them. Matthew 7:20. So amen and amen. And that's usually, that a good offense is always the best defense anyway. Okay, next one is leaving consequences with God. And it says, I am sometimes greatly burdened in the night season. I rise from my bed and walk the room, praying to the Lord to help me bear the burden, and say nothing to make the people believe that the message he has given me is truth. When I can lay this burden on the Lord, I am free indeed. I enjoy a peace that I cannot express. I feel lifted up, as if borne by the everlasting arms of peace and joy fill my soul. And this is where a lot of babes in Christ, especially the evangelistic type babes in Christ, have an issue. And what I mean is, where does she say it here? She goes, praying to the Lord to help me bear the burden and say nothing to make the people believe that the message he has given me is truth. When you get past the position in your or the thought process in your mind that, because this I wrestled with for years, literally for years, and this is why I always would always get angry. How can I word this? It's not hard for me to explain things sometimes, but then again, sometimes it is. Here's one of them times. But I would get angry when I would see, let's see, only one to bear to make the people believe that the message is giving me. Okay, yeah. I finally got to a point years ago that I know the word is written in a way where a child can understand it. A child is, created by the same God that I'm created by. And I learned early on that the Catholic Church is lying when they say that that I should stop reading my Bible because it's confusing me. That's the day I left the church, when that Monsignor told me that. And because what the first thought that ran through my mind was, are you kidding me? The guy that created all that is seen and unseen can't write a book that I can understand? I mean, where's the thought process, generating from that one? I mean, I knew it was from hell, because my God, who can make an amazing butterfly wing, also made the human body with the trillions of cells and stuff and all these, and even the thought process that was generated just from the biotechnology, if you want to call it, if you don't want to call it creationism, because some people out there are just more like, because they're coming out with biochips now for computers. But I had to come to a position or a point in my walk as an evangelist, if you will, that you're not going to get to everybody. You can't let, it's like the old saying goes, you can bring a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Well, you can bring an atheist to Christ, but you can't make him think. It's the same thing. You can't force anybody to believe what you have to say. You could share that which is written. That's all you can do. You could share that which is written. And if they ain't going to get it, you could just pray that the seeds you have just planted will get the water, and there's ample soil. Even if it's just a couple of grains of soil, the Lord will run with it. And that's all you can do. Because you can't make them believe. And once you get to that point, you get a, it makes it so much easier to do this work. You know? Because I remember for years when I first went online, I was trying to convince all these Catholics they were wrong. And that's why I got up to 40,000 posts on the Usenet, if you will. It's like a bulletin board system on steroids. And I would constantly answer their responses, and they were 90% of the time very hateful and filled with insults and even four-letter words. And I would just type in as much scripture as I could to show them. And every time, it would just anger them more and more and more. And I finally got to the point after about a year or two of this, banging my head against the wall, realizing that I'm killing myself trying to get them to listen, trying to get them to hear it, trying to get them to see it, because I can't force them. And once you get to that, it makes the work that much easier. Like she says, you enjoy a peace that you cannot express. I'm going to do what I can do. I'm going to do the best that I can do, and that's it. It's all you can do. Amen. You can't do the work of the Holy Ghost. That's his job. We plant the seeds. He's going to do the watering. So she goes on to say, I am again and again reminded that I am not to try to clear away the confusion and contradiction of faith and feeling and unbelief that is expressed. I am not to be depressed, but I am to speak the words of the Lord with authority and then leave with him all the consequences. I mean, after all, he wrote it, right? He said it, I believe it, that settles it. And so what you do is you share that which is written, and it's powerful. You know it's powerful because it moved you. Because I remember the first time I met Christ. I was all alone in that room, and I felt the presence of the Lord upon me after asking a question. And this was after 18 months, I would say, of reading the Bible. And it became very clear to me that He is the one that's going to respond to those seeking an answer to their questions. He's the one that's going to have to do it. You know, and then seeing how he did it for me, and seeing how he's done it for my wife, and seeing how he's done it for some of my kids, and seeing how he's done it for many people that I've met over the years, I'd be a complete idiot to think that I have any say-so in any of this whatsoever. I got to leave it all in his hands. It's totally up to him. You just let go, let God. Yeah, that's all you can do. And so she says, I am instructed by the great physician to speak the word that the Lord gives me, whether men will hear or whether they will forbear. I am told that I have nothing to do with the consequences, that God, even the Lord Jehovah, will keep me in perfect peace if I rest in his love and do the work he has given me. And see, that's another thing, too. Obedience plays a big part in this one. And what I mean here is Titus 3:10. Or even the area in Scripture says, don't cast pearls to swine. Yes, the evangelistic heart wants to keep going and going and try to help them. But if you keep going to these people that don't want to hear what you have to say, and they keep trampling the pearls of wisdom, you know, the Scriptures, because we know what the great pearl is, it's the Bible. And so they take those little pearls, and those are verses you're giving them, and they're trampling them on their foot, and then they turn and attack you. What did Jesus say to do at that point? Continue sharing the word. No, he did not say that. He said, walk away. Or look at Titus 3:10. Give them twice. Two admonitions. That's it. Why? There's 7 billion people on the planet. The Lord needs the talents he has given you to be used to do what he needs them to do. You got to be obedient to him. If you know you're spinning your wheels and wasting your time with some people that don't want to hear it, walk away. I don't care if it's your brother, your sister, your mom, your dad, whatever. You walk away from them. Now, I'm not saying walk out of your life and say, goodbye, see ya, wouldn't want to be ya. No, that's not what I'm saying. You continue to pray for them. Sometimes in tears, you continue to pray for them. But you have to stop sharing the word with them. Because, like this one guy I knew years ago, I said, look, I'm quitting this job. Even though he used to work for me, and then the Lord got me out of this business because he didn't want me in it. I was raising money for the cops, you know. And that's, of course, a scam. You give money to the Federal Order of Police, 90% of the money you give them doesn't go to the police. It goes to the guy on the phone. So anyway, you usually get a contract with the cops, but they never tell anybody that, right? So the Lord wanted me out of that, and one of the drivers that I had that used to work for me had his own business, too, and he was doing a thing on the side. And so the Lord got me out of that business, and he had me come into this other business, and I was doing telemarketing again over the phone, but it was electronics. And I did that for about a year or so. I don't even know how long it was. But I finally I stood up in the office one day and says, Dave, I'm sorry, but I got to go. And he goes, what do you mean? As I quit. I says, well, you know, and the reason I quit, and this is what I had to explain to us, is, you know, and it was mostly a Titus 3:10 kind of a thing going on here, but I at the same, and I did give up on him, but he kept pushing the buttons. In other words, he knew I was a Christian, and he liked to ridicule that which is written. He had a weird way of trying to get answers out of me, and it was always to ridicule that which is written. And after about, I don't know, because this started towards the end. It was like, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 months before I quit. He started having issues because, the Lord was just working with me, and all these things were changing. You know, and even that was, it was in that office that I heard the still small voice for the second time in my life, and that day was a non-smoker. Answered that prayer that fast. And, literally, I was tested and everything after that. He didn't even want a cigarette after that. It was gone. Didn't even dream about him. But I said, look, if I stay here, it's going to give you that temptation to continuously blaspheme my God and your Creator. He's your Creator, but at this point, he ain't your God because you're literally slamming him every chance you get. So I walked out. We stayed friends over the years. He did eventually die of cancer a couple, 3 years ago. But it was difficult for me to do that. But I understood what the Lord was saying here. He says, look, there's other people that I want you to share this truth with. But if you're wasting your time with this guy, I'll send those other people to somebody else. And that's what he's going to do. If you keep on wasting your time and ignoring that which is written about not casting pearls of swine or stopping with the heretics, especially if you've got these people that you know for a fact that have attacked you and those you love, you know their fruits, you don't waste your time with them. And so you do what the Lord says to do. And then guess what? He'll start sending people to you because now he knows he can trust you. He knows you're going to go by exactly the way it is written. That's just part of the job description. If you get a job in a company, they sometimes give you a prospectus, if you will, of the job description, you know, like a summary of what they want you to do and what they want you not to do. Especially when it comes to sales of insurance, because there's laws involved that you could literally end up behind bars and your boss can end up behind bars, and so you have to do it exactly the way they say to do it. Well, the Lord's not going to be any different when it comes to this. He needs, if you follow his instructions, you're going to be blessed like you won't believe. Especially with souls that he'll keep sending you because he knows, okay, he's going to give him a couple of chances and that's it. Because I told him to give him a couple of chances and that's it. So if he knows if you're going to obey him even there, well, then he knows he can use you. But if you don't want to obey him there, well, yeah, keep on trying with that person. These other people that I was going to send you away, I'm going to send them down the road. And that's what will happen. Anyway, going on, she says, well, this next title is, will not confess the sins known only to those involved. Will not confess the sins known only to those involved. And she says, your brethren, or many of them, do not know that which you yourself and the Lord know. I have determined that I will not confess the sins of those who profess to believe the truth, but leave these things for them to confess. And that's the way to go. If you sin against your brother, your sister, you tell them, look, would you please forgive me? I have done this against you or that against you. And then your sin's forgiven if they forgive you. Well, even if they don't forgive you, you've done all you can. You've done your duty. And then, of course, you go to the Lord. Well, you obviously went to the Lord first. Otherwise, who is the one that's pushing you to go to them, right? But have you done sins to yourself or in your mind or even to complete strangers you'll never meet again kind of a thing? You don't go telling people about it and saying, would you, or you don't have to tell anybody. That's just between you and God kind of a thing, you know. All right, this next one is titled E.G. White Benefited by the Message Given. She says, I long to speak to large congregations, and by the way, she never spoke during the Sabbath hour, the high hour for the sermons, if you will. That's the desk of the pastor. And that's only to have, and this is not to belittle women in any way, shape, or form. It's because this is the order, the gospel order that is written in Scripture. Okay? The Lord is the one that placed Eve by Adam's side. A lot of people like to put Eve underneath Adam's foot. But no, he took the rib out of Adam's side to create that woman. Okay? And so, yeah, we got I couldn't do half the things I do with Fran, without Fran, rather. And she couldn't do half the things she does without me. We work as a team together, side by side. I know in my early years with her, she was under my foot because I was a jerk. I was an idiot. But I wasn't with Christ. And when you meet Christ, he changes you in a lot of ways. So, but anyway, like I was saying, she never spoke during the Sabbath hour. And so, but now you see the Seventh-day Adventist Church is ordaining pastors that are women that are going to speak during that hour. And now there's people that claim to be Seventh-day Remnant out there that have women preaching to the congregation at the Sabbath hour. on the West Coast. Some of you know who I'm talking about. But I just want to put that out there to let you know that because it's in her writings, and she even states in her writings somewhere that I can't remember. Brother Craig sent it to me a while ago about women that she never, you can't, well, we know what the Bible says about usurping authority. I don't remember which one it was, but yeah, they're I've got it somewhere. Oh, you have it? Okay. Yeah, if you need it, just get it from Craig. So anyway, she says, I long to speak to large congregations, knowing that the message is not of myself, but that which the Lord impresses upon my mind to utter. I am never left alone when I stand before the people with a message. When before the people, there seems to be presented before me the most precious things of the gospel, and I participate in the gospel message and feed upon the word as much as any of the hearers. And I got to say, praise the Lord for that, because let me just copy this. Wait, let me copy this whole thing. This happened to me, a year ago. And it was one of the church members. Maybe it was 2 years ago. Let me get this. Okay, this message from her lips. Okay. All right, now what I was going to share here. Let me get this. Okay, all these noises are going to be in the recording, and I apologize for that. But what she's talking about here is, now this happened to me, like I was saying, on the phone a year, maybe 2 years ago. I was talking to her brother and sister at the same time on the phone, husband and wife. And some questions came up from them, and I was sharing with them what the Lord revealed to me in regards to that, you know, from what I read in the Word, because I had been in the Word for a few years, and I guess they were babes or something like that. And I, towards the end of the phone call, the topic came up about the blessings of the evangelist, like, because they wanted to go out and share their faith on the street. And I said, you got to be surprised sometimes, because this was one of the most recent, I guess it's happened again since then, but this is really sticks in my memory as to what happened that day. Because I was going through a similar situation at that time that they were going through, and it was a trial, and they were having a trial. And so as I was sharing with them from the Word of God how to handle the situation, it blessed them, of course, because they believed that which is written. And I had to stop at the end and tell them, you know something? This doesn't happen often, but it just happened today. What I just shared with you, I needed to hear. And this is what she's saying here. Because there's a lot of times that you're going to say something to someone, the Lord's going to give you something to say. The Holy Spirit's literally going to speak through you. Because that's just another part of the job description. You know, you have to let Him use you even there. And so she says, the most precious things of the gospel, and I participate in the gospel message, and feed upon the word as much as any of the hearers. She says, the sermons do me good, for I have new representations every time I open my lips to speak to the people. And this is what happens a lot, especially if you've been evangelizing for decades or even just for a couple of years. It really doesn't matter. Because I saw it early on, too, and I'm sure some of you have seen this as well. Because I get the phone calls and the emails. But this is mostly for the benefit of the babes in Christ that, you know, are eventually going to see this as well. But there's going to be times when you're going to share the truth with somebody, and it's going to bless them at the same time it's going to give you what you needed to hear that day. And I just love the way He does that. It floored me. It floors me every time He does that. But that one time, because it was a real heavy trial the time I was going through it. I can't even remember what the trial was, because He makes all these trials seem so trivial after a while. I mean, they get bigger and bigger, but after about, you know, 2-3 years, those whoppers 2-3 years ago are nothing compared to what you're going through now. And so, yeah. Anyway, she goes on. I already read that part. So anyway, she says here, I can never doubt my mission, for I am a participant in the privileges and am nourished and vivified, knowing that I am called onto the grace of Christ. Every time I set forth the truth to the people and call their attention to eternal life which Christ has made possible for us to obtain, I am as much benefited as they with most gracious discoveries of the grace and love and the power of God in behalf of his people, in justification and reconciliation with God. Amen. And then this next one is titled, The Privilege of Being God's Messenger. She says, I am very thankful that the Lord has given me the privilege of being his messenger to communicate precious truth to others. Well, amen. Amen. Why they put that in there is odd. But, I mean, that's a no-brainer. I mean, her life's work, come on, 475 books, the most prolific writer, woman writer on the planet. And it's and here's no surprise, you're not going to find her books in any Christian bookstore. Why? Because they're not Christian bookstores. They're manufactured Christian wannabes. You know, they're like Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1 stores. So let's see how much further we got to go here, because we're like 5 minutes to 11. Okay, now why doesn't it want to go to the next page? 4 score and 7 years. Okay, here it goes. It looks like it's almost over. Yep, okay, almost over. So, let's... Okay, here we go. Now, this subheading has a colored subheading. It says, After Ellen White's Death. And this this subheading says, E.G. White's Writings to Continue to Witness. And it says, I am to trace this testimony on paper, that should I fall asleep in Jesus, the witness to the truth might still be born. And we're living proof of that fact. Now, here's a problem, and this is what you're going to find every time this happens with people that only read Ellen White. She even stated in her writings that if you read your Bibles and study your Bibles properly, you don't have to use her writings. You don't have to read her writings. But at the same time, it's still a blessing because I love reading the writings or listening to the sermons of people that I know, understand, and have been given the truth to share. And so, and the way she likes to explain the scriptures, using scripture to explain scripture just like Jesus did, yeah, you can't lose there, you know. But the fact of the matter is, the truth is obvious. My point was in regards to the people that, because there's a lot of people, especially the young for some reason, that only read Ellen White's writings, and she only touches on maybe 50 or 60% of the Bible. And the reason I say that is because a lot of times you'll hit a hard area in the scriptures and you want to get a little bit more insight on it, rather than go through all the back and forth with the cross-referencing and then using the Strong Concordance to try to figure out the words and stuff like that. If you want a quick answer, I like to jump in Ellen White's writings, and 90% of the time there's hard stuff that I'm looking through. She doesn't even comment on it. And this is where the problem is, if you only read Ellen White. Because there are some people over the years that have attacked the truth that we preach, just like there were people over her entire lifetime that attacked what she preached, that only read her writings. And this is all they do. And so they don't have a complete understanding. And they even admit, some of them actually admit in writing, that they've never read the whole Bible yet. And yet they try to come off as they're some kind of an authority on the truth and use only Ellen White. And this is here's a good method to combat such situations, because this has been going on for ever since I found out about Ellen White, which has to be at least 15 years ago, maybe. I've been keeping Sabbath 18, 19 years. And about four, I don't know how many years after I started keeping Sabbath, somebody told me about Ellen White. And then a year or two after that, I started reading her writings. But because I'm still a novice. This is why I like to read Ellen White on Friday nights, because I haven't read all her books yet. Like 475 books. I mean, it's not like I've got all the time in the world. But the thing is, where was I? Man, I keep losing my train of thought here. It's like I keep getting derailed, because I got all the other thoughts I want to share at the same time. And I think that's what my wife likes to call me, the absent-minded professor thing going on there. Too many things going on between ears at the same time. So, yeah, amen to that. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever he has said unto you. And that's John 14:26, one of my favorite verses. Yeah, that's me, Amp. Everybody calls me Amp, absent-minded professor. But I'm sure it'll come back to me, whatever it was I was talking about. But anyway, let's go to the next one. She goes, to speak to the end. Abundant light has been given to our people in these last days. Whether or not my life is spared, my writings will constantly speak, and their work will go forward as long as time shall last. My writings are kept on file in the office, and even though I should not live, these words that have been given to me by the Lord will still have life and will speak to the people. So amen and amen. And again, yeah, that's what I was talking about before, is the young people that only talk about Ellen White and or just read only her writings. They're only going to get a snippet of the truth, and they're not going to get some of the meat. They're going to get a lot of the milk, but they're not going to get, and they're going to get some meat, but they're not going to get all that they need, and so they're going to have misunderstanding. Oh, case in point. There's a group that used to be part of our number, man, 10 years ago, I think, maybe even longer. Because we've been, you know, doing this online ever since internet came to town. And they said that the Sabbath was from 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. You know? And, like, if I do the Jewish fast, like they used to call it, the Jewish fast from sundown to sundown, I'll do it from 6 to 6 because... In winter, the sun goes down at 4:30 out here. Well, that's a piddly fast for me. I mean, like, if I get up in the morning and I don't eat until sundown, whoop-de-doo, I'm going to get to have something to eat at 4:30? That's not a fast, so I'll go to 6, you know, and in the summer I'll do it at 6 again. And you can do, you know, a month, you can do a whole month like that, you know, just don't eat until sundown every day. That's like a lot of Jews used to do that, right? But these people were insisting that the reason they go 6 to 6 because Ellen White did it early on, and she did. Until, in vision, an angel told her, you got to do it from sundown to sundown. I mean, like the Bible says, right? And this is early on when she was, you know, young. And I don't know if she was that young, as a matter of fact. Because the reason they said that they never saw it in her writings, because after a certain year, I think it was in the 1890s or early 1900s, they said, we don't read anything that Ellen White wrote after a certain year, and that's it. And I says, why? He says, well, we have evidence the writings were corrupted. Yeah, but she checked every book before they went out. They're corrupted now, yeah. But if you got the CD or the DVD, you can find out what's after those dot, dot, dots, you know, when they took stuff out of her writings, right? I said, well, but now here's the problem. Because they only read Ellen White's writings, and only Ellen White's writings, they only keep Sabbath from 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. Number one, if they read their Bible, they would know that you're supposed to keep it from sundown to sundown. And if they continued reading Ellen White's writings, they would discover eventually that she was told to keep it from sundown to sundown. So, again, the Bible's always the best source, you know, of all this truth that you're going to get. Okay, where'd you get this? I'm going to share this after, because we're almost done. Thanks, Craig. I'm going to share this. He just sent me something. I don't know where he got it, but it looks... It's a pretty good resume, if you will, a post-resume of her life in regards to that which she had done for the Lord. Okay, this next section is titled, Messages to Be of Greater Force After Prophet's Death. And this is sad, and, oh, that's from the, okay, it's from the G.Y. State, okay. Anyway, yeah, this is sad because, and this is human nature, too, by the way. And I don't like thinking this thought, but I have loved ones and, you know, kids and siblings that I sometimes wonder, says, what if the only way they're going to understand if I'm pushing up daisies? In other words, until I die, they're not going to get it. Like if I'm slated to die before Jesus gets here, will they finally say, wow, Dad was right, or wow, Nick was right in that, or this, or the truth was right? Because yeah, I don't want them giving me credit for anything. I didn't write it. And because... like the human nature is, like after some, especially if you're Catholic. I was, you know, when I grew up Catholic, like someone died, I was like, oh, wow, they're in the ghost world now, and they could stop in the room every time they want and see me doing things that I shouldn't be doing, you know. So they're kind of like a godlike being once they're dead, you know. It's just like they get so glorified. Like the Catholic Church teaches, you're a saint after you die. It says, whoa, the Bible says you're a saint while you're alive. But anyway, even in the church, in the SDR or even the SDA church in the beginning, people have a tendency to look at a little bit more into something somebody says, even if it's just your friend or something like that. You know, I always remember how, you know, Jeff used to talk like that, and how, wow, he knew something. You know, you start tagging these people with a little bit more credibility than is necessary their worth, you know. I mean, it's, but if you're work is such that of a prophet like Ellen White here, or just a preacher like myself, you'd be surprised, like if the person dies, how some people actually start to realize that, wow, This is truth. But she says here, it says, physically, I have always been as a broken vessel. And yet in my old age, the Lord continues to move upon me by His Holy Spirit to write the most important books that have ever come before the churches and the world. The Lord is evidencing what He can do through weak vessels. But obedient, by the way. You can be as weak as a worm without any skeleton, and the Lord can use you in a mighty way if you're obedient. She says, the life that He spares, I will use to His glory. And that's another reason, I don't even want to bring that up because I don't want people thinking that it's, be a Christian so you don't die young. That's just ridiculous. Actually, wouldn't you want to, rather? I've met people that actually, once they found Christ, they wanted to commit suicide. I want to get out of here. You commit suicide. The odds are farly against you ever making it home, because I'm not going to judge the heart, because if the people really don't know what's wrong, the Lord's only going to judge you by the light you understand. Because I've known people in my past that committed suicide and they didn't realize what they were doing, I don't think. I mean, who would want to do something that violent to themselves? Kill self? I mean, commandment number 6, it's, but if they didn't know, I'm not gonna put it on the table. I don't know. It don't look good, I'll put it that much, but I don't know. But she goes on. And when He may see fit to let me rest, His messages shall be of even more vital force than when the frail instrumentality through whom they were delivered was living. Amen. So she's prophesying there, by the way. And it's obvious. She knew that her writings would, bless many after her death. And we can also see I lost it. These distractions like pop up on me, and I just. Anyway, let me just read what Brother Craig sent me a few moments ago, though. Hold on here. Let me see. This is from the Ellen White's estate, and it says, excuse me. It says, at the time of her death, Ellen White's literary productions totaled approximately 100,000 pages. Wow. 24 books. And I know what it entails to do 11,000. I got over 11,000 on the website. So that's nothing anywhere near what this woman has done. And, it just boggles the mind. Could you imagine doing that? But then again, she did it her whole life, I would think. And by hand. Oh, man, I think I would be crippled after the first 1,000. Anyway, she says, it says 24 books in current circulation, 2 book manuscripts ready for publication, 5,000 periodical articles in the journals of the church, more than 200 tracts and pamphlets, approximately 35,000 typewritten pages of manuscript documents and letters, 2,000 handwritten letters, and diary materials comprising, when copied, another 15,000 typewritten pages, compilations. And compilations were made after debt from Ellen White's estate. Wow. So. But amen. Amen. That's a lot. I don't know where I got the number 475 books. I think Ellen White's estate saying that she has 475 books, but I think that has to do with the compilations. But 100,000 pages. See, literally, productions totaled approximately 100,000. 24 books in current circulation. Man. But anyway, that's amazing. And she's not in any Christian bookstores, except for the ABC bookstores, All right, if you can kneel, please do so. We're going to finish in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You once again for blessing us the way You do each and every Sabbath. And please continue this blessing tomorrow when we gather for church. Thank You for keeping us all safe as we sleep. And those of us on the other side of the world, thank You for blessing them in their Sabbath day. And keep them safe all throughout. Thank you again for hearing our prayers tonight and for forgiving us and cleansing us from all unrighteousness and blessing all those that we lifted up unto you that are on our prayer list and even those we didn't mention, because there's many. And then I just got word that Brother Sean's little sister, her friend's named is Ernie, and then Rebecca, I guess their mother just died. And so we're lifting up that family. That can't be easy because those are young people, and they lost a mom who's young, I guess. And then Brother Sean is also having difficult struggles at this time, so please bless him as well. And thank you again, Father, for being with us throughout this study and giving us a desire to learn and to understand, and for making it so easy to understand when we're obedient to the truth that you already revealed. And again, we lift up these prayers unto you, Father, in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Oh, there it goes again. What is it with this keyboard? All of a sudden it just goes down. 1,616 earthquakes since last Sabbath at this time. Wow. It just never stops. But the prophecy said it wouldn't. So let me just... Okay. Oh, thanks, Brian. For those of you listening on the phone, thank you for listening. I hope and pray that you were blessed. And see you tomorrow at noon. And for those of you listening on the radio, I hope and pray that you were blessed, too. We'll see you tomorrow. In a few moments, as soon as I get up and away from the microphone, I'll switch the radio over to the pre-recorded message that was already running beforehand. But thanks again, Brother Daniel. Okay. And, I forgot to turn off the recorder, so you got to hear all that, too. So I hope and pray you're blessed, too, on the recording.